This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Struggle by Jennifer L. Armentrout, narrated by Paul Bamer and Justine Eyre. Chapter 1. Seth. Doing the right thing had never felt more wrong than it did right then. Maybe that was how it always felt. I wouldn't know. It was so rare when I actually did the right thing. My knuckles ached from clenching the steering wheel. Every cell in my body demanded that I turn the vehicle around and go back to Josie. Because she was mine, and I belonged with her, in her, and beside her. But I couldn't. Everything had changed now. Heady, deadly power churned deep inside me, and it was nothing like what being a Napoleon felt. Oh no, this was like the Apollyon on steroids. I had a feeling that the unexpected awakening, the even more surprising subsequent ability to kill Atlas, was just the beginning of what I was capable of, because the entire world was different to me now. The sky was a shade I'd never seen before. The sea off the Pacific Coast Highway was a dizzying kaleidoscope of blues. Skin sensitized, I could feel the dampness in the air. I inhaled, and it tasted of sea and salt. I was going damn near 100 in this SUV, and I felt like I could still go faster, that I should be going faster. And I was hungry. Not for food, for what lived and breathed inside of the pures and the haves, the demigods and gods, and inside of Josie. I couldn't be around her. It was too dangerous. Miles were between Josie and me now, and soon there'd be thousands, and it had to stay that way, but I could still feel her body beneath mine, her skin soft against mine. And I could still hear her soft cries echoing in my ears. I love her. Pressing my boot down on the gas, I knew where to go, a place far from here, far from everything, a place where I could think and plan, because I was going to take out every single motherfuck.
You're making a mistake.
Shit! I cursed as I jerked the steering wheel to the right. The tires squealed. Dust along the embankment flooded the air as my gaze flew to the passenger seat. That god's damn nymph was sitting beside me. He was shirtless, as usual, wearing his doe-skin pants, and he was as glittery as a damn disco ball. What the hell? I exploded, straightening the wheel before we careened off the highway. A crash wouldn't kill me, but I really didn't feel like testing out how indestructible my skin could be. You could have caused me to wreck.
As if your life isn't already a wreck, he replied, smiling slightly. The answer would be yes. Yes, your life is a wreck.
I gripped the steering wheel. What in the fuck of all fucks do you want?
We need to talk.
Anger rippled under my skin. There is nothing we need to talk about.
Oh, there is.
The nymph waved his hand, and the engine cut off without any additional warning. Cursing in every language I knew, I was able to coast the SUV to the narrow side of the road between two large boulders. I dropped my hands and twisted toward him. You know I could kill you with a snap of my two fingers.
You could. And maybe you will one day.
Those purplish eyes glimmered. But not today. I don't know about that. Akasha crackled over my skin, casting a whitish amber glow over the interior of the SUV. It came to me so easily, I barely even had to think about it. I'm really not in the mood.
Because you left Josie, he replied.
Exhaling roughly, I worked a kink out of my neck. Careful, nymph. You've chosen to leave, correct? Even though she is unprotected? She is not unprotected. Unease brewed deep in my gut, because even though she was with the incredibly happy duo known as Alex and Aiden, and even though she was a demigod, the Titans were dangerous. However, I knew from previous experience that the Titans would retreat for a while. After losing Atlas, they wouldn't come after Josie for a bit, giving me time to search them down and end them. Besides, I was more dangerous to her. There was something inside me, and it was cold and cruel. I could taste it. I could feel it. And it wanted to devour Josie. You've made your choice, God Killer. About to tell him that he could dive headfirst out of the window, something occurred to me. A memory from when he magically appeared at the Covenant and warned me about what was inside of me. You knew. Knew what? That I was a God Killer. That you could become the God Killer, he corrected. We all knew there was a chance. After all, it became your destiny when the other passed. I shot him a quick look. What destiny crap are you talking about? A secretive smile curved the corners of his lips. There's so much you do not know. Why I hadn't blasted the glittery fuckface out the window yet was anyone's guess. She loves you, he said quietly. Do you even realize what that means? My throat closed off. Within a traitorous heartbeat, I could see Josie in my mind's eye, her stricken face when I'd admitted to feeding on her. I saw her after I'd taken out Atlas and was able to turn Aiden into a Slurpee. Her and all that hair, all that blonde and brown hair flowing around her beautiful face, as she'd nicked me with the blade tainted with the blood of a Pegasus. I saw her staring at me like she had no idea what I was. And then I saw what a dark part of me knew I was capable of doing to her. Closing my eyes, I swore under my breath I didn't want to see her. No, he murmured. No, you do not. There was a pause. But you will. Scrubbing my hand across my jaw, I opened my eyes and stared out at the ocean as cars raced past us on the highway. I'm only going to ask you one more time. What do you want? Do you understand what it means to be a God Killer? That I can pretty much kill anything? That was an unintelligent response. And I mean that as no insult. The knowledge of what you are capable of exists deep inside of you. It is what led you to force the awakening. It was that thing inside me. You have made your choice, he stated again. Yes, I answered. I can't be around any of them. The leather seats crackled as the nymph leaned toward me. I didn't need to look at him to know he was way too close. And you know where you want to go? When I didn't answer, he asked, why would you need to drive there? Looking over at him, I raised my brows. Because I'd figure I'd drive, and then I'd have to fly there. The nymph's ultra-bright red lips curved into a smile. You are the God Killer. You merely need to picture where you want to go. And go there. I stared at him. You're shitting me. Try it. He sat back, his eyes like jewels. And you will learn you are not just capable of death. You are capable of so much more. My first inclination was to simply throat-punch him right through the car door, but I decided to humor him. Like what? Like creating life. A harsh laugh burst out of me. Yeah, You're about a second away from ceasing to exist.
Try it,
he cajoled, completely unafraid.
Picture where you want to go. Try it, just once.
Glaring at him, I shook my head. But I did it. I don't even know why, but I did. I pictured the rocky coasts and blue-green seas, and I could almost feel the golden sun on my skin, but it was more than that. There was another voice that sounded like mine, but wasn't. It told me where I needed to go. Andros. Warmth soaked into my skin, and my eyes flew open. Holy! Shock nearly bowled me over. I was no longer sitting inside the SUV. Stumbling back a step, I realized I was staring at the frothy sea. The sea I hadn't seen in years. My jaw, unhinged. Impossible. I had to be hallucinating.
See?
The nymph said, and I jerked to the side. He was also beside me.
You are capable of a lot,
God killer. I shook my head. I don't... How is this possible? The nymph turned to the ocean, and then he lifted his hands, spreading his arms out. Everything is possible. This couldn't be real. But as I turned around, I knew. Dear God, it was real, and I was half the world away from Josie in less than a second. I could barely process it. We stood on the thin strip of white sand and rock of Andros, the northernmost island in the Kyklades. Mountainous and full of water-fed valleys that bore the fruit I used to sneak as a child. It was barely tame. The weirdest damn sensation itched under my skin as I took in the path leading to the stairs climbing the steeping hill. Taking a deep breath, I lifted my gaze to the sprawling sandstone home that was perched atop the highest peak. It was a monstrous building, three stories with several wings that, if it were the same, contained nothing more than marble statues and oil paintings depicting the gods. Balconies surrounded the upper two levels with many nooks and crannies to hide in. The veranda wasn't empty.
What the?
I trailed off. There were people out on it, scores of them staring down at where we stood, and I could sense the ether in the pews and the fainter traces in the hearths. The house should have been vacant. There was no reason for any of the staff to have remained after Mother had died. Who are these people? I demanded. The nymph inclined his chin. Some were your mother's staff, her servants, her confidants. They are now yours. Others came when you awakened. They are also yours.
What the hell? I don't want them here.
Their master has finally come home.
Master?
Did you think it would be different?
Yes.
I frowned as those on the veranda, one by one, lowered themselves onto their knees and bowed their heads.
Oh, hell.
I thought it would be empty, for starters. The nymph chuckled. Crossing my arms, I exhaled roughly. I have no use of them.
Oh, you will find use of them. I am sure.
I slid him a sidelong glance. I'm really going to get tired of repeating myself. I have no need of servants.
Gods!
Those halves should be freed. Those halves are here of their own volition. They are here because it is where you are, as I am here because of you, the nymph said. I am here to help you.
Why? Why would you help me?
The nymph smiled. My kind has walked this realm long before man, before the gods from Olympus overthrew the Titans. We were here even before the Titans ruled.
Well, that sounded like a really long time ago, in a time period called I Don't Give a Fuck.
What does that have to do with anything?
Those odd eyes twinkled, actually twinkled, like a pair of tiny stars. We believe that the time for change has arrived once more.
The question of what kind of change was due to arrive died on the tip of my tongue. I wanted no part of whatever the nymphs believed in or wanted. I had my own goals. I would ferret out whatever foxhole the Titans were hiding in, and I would gladly destroy each one. They would be no threat to Josie. What is your name?
I did ask. One eyebrow rose. Ewan?
I snickered. Ewan the Ewok.
The nymph frowned.
Never mind. I sighed and started forward. Goodbye, Ewan.
Do you want to know about love?
He asked.
Rolling my eyes, I kept walking. Love is the root of all that is good, and the root of all things that are evil.
He called out.
Love is the root of the Apollyon.
The fine hairs on my arms rose, and I stopped. The pures and halves on the veranda waited, the women's pale blue and rose-colored dresses billowing in the breeze. Something about what the nymph was saying rang eerily familiar.
Fate is afoot,
he continued.
Things cannot be undone.
Fate has looked into the past and into the future. History is on repeat. Slowly, almost against my will, I turned around. The nymph stood where I'd left him, but there was something ancient and wise in his gaze.
Know the difference between need and love.
Ewan's voice carried on the salty breeze. Those amethyst eyes rolled back, revealing all white pupils. Oh, hell no, I muttered, actually wanting to take a step back to stop what I knew was coming. The nymph glided forward and spoke the words that had been meant for the first Apollyon, for Alex, and brought life to a prophecy once unfinished.
For what the gods have feared has come to pass. The end of the old is here, and the beginning of the new has been ushered in.
His voice rose, carrying out to sea and over the cliffs.
For the sun child and the new god will give birth to a new era, and the great creators will fall one by one, reshaping our homes and hearths, reaping man and mortal alike.
Oh, fuck me sideways. Sunchild, new god, give birth and reapings? Yeah, I wanted no part of this. You know you can...
A bloody path has been chosen,
he went on, because, of course, there apparently was no stopping this.
The great war fought by the few is coming, and in the end, the sun will fall and the moon will reign until the new sun rises.
My brows rose. Sort of sounded like a normal day to me.
Know this, the nymph seemed to bellow. The strength of the sun will be needed to conquer, for the strength of war and cunning will not be enough. Love and need must be reconciled. If not, the great land will perish, for the bull is in the house of the lion.
Well, I officially had no words. At all, none. Ewan the nymph dropped to one knee.
Goodbye, Seth, the god of life.
A shiver blasted down my spine as a bolt of lightning struck off the coast, slamming into the ocean.
The nymph bowed its head. The god of death.
Chapter 2. Josie. The floor of the massive mansion that belonged to Gable's mother shook and rattled like it was nothing more than a piece of cardboard. Shooting off the couch, I let the thin, soft-as-a-dream blanket fall to the floor as the rumbling became sound, a building roar that shook my chest and raised tiny goosebumps along my arms. Eyes wide, I turned in a slow circle as books tumbled from shelves, smacking off the floor. Above me, a crystal chandelier, one that probably cost more than a car, trembled and clanked. Teardrop-shaped crystals fell to the floor, shattering into pieces. A tall, slender lamp toppled over, smashing its pale gray shade. Behind me, more books hit the floor. "What in the world?" I whispered, voice hoarse and tired. Tired from the tears that had been burning up my throat. Something big was happening, and it could be anything. A horde of demons, another ticked off, supercharged Titan, a wave of shades that had escaped from Tartarus. It could even be Seth. No, he wouldn't be doing this, whatever this was, no matter what Alex and Aiden believed about him. He wouldn't put me in danger of the house caving in on me. Snatching my titanium dagger off the end table, I darted around falling books and tore open the door, hitting the brightly lit hallway just as an explosion of thunder deafened my pounding heart. Glass shattered at the end of the hall, no doubt a priceless vase rendered to nothing more than shards. The house shook again. Art canvassed slipped from the walls as I raced into the grand atrium, my gaze immediately zeroing in on the scorched spot where Atlas had once stood. The spot where the Titan had died. And not too far from there, Solos had taken his final breath. That space on the floor was clear, wiped clean of blood. But for a split second, I saw him staring down at his chest, at the gaping hole where his heart had been before his knees had given out. He'd been dead before he hit the floor, and he hadn't deserved that. Solos should still be here. Swiping the memory aside, my gaze flew to the glass double doors. They were closed, but the way the panes of glass shook, I doubted they would stay intact much longer. I gasped as another quake hit the house. The floor rolled and rippled under my feet like water, lifting me up. I stumbled to the side, throwing my arms out to steady myself. Somewhere in the house, doors slammed open and someone shouted one word, "Earthquake!" Earthquake! Relief punched me so hard in the gut that I laughed. Laughed loudly and a bit crazily. Just an earthquake. Duh. I was in Southern California. Not everything had to be supernatural. Lowering the dagger, I turned to the spiral staircase. Several half-asleep people stood there. And of course, I was using the term people loosely. There wasn't a single mortal in the house. The shaking subsided as Deacon ran his fingers through his messy blonde curls. "I hate California," he grumbled. Behind him, Luke was scrubbing a hand over his eyes. His bronze-colored hair was sticking up in every direction. Standing beside them was Gable. Poor Gable. We'd literally plucked him off a beach, told him that his father was Poseidon and that he was also a demigod whose powers were bound— And then he witnessed up close and personal what a Titan was capable of. The fact that he was standing there and not rocking in a corner somewhere was admirable. "We haven't had one that bad in a long time," Gable said, with sleep clinging to his voice. "We'll definitely get an aftershock from that." Deacon's pale gray eyes widened. "Aftershock," Gable nodded. "Or that could have been a foreshock. You never really know." "What is that?"
Deacon lowered his hand, frowning.
"Like an uncircumcised earthquake?"
Aiden, his older brother, lifted his chin and stared at the ceiling, slowly shaking his dark head. There were no two brothers less alike. Well, maybe Lucifer and Michael. They were brothers. My lips twitched into a tired smile as Gable explained exactly what a foreshock was. Aiden reached out, draping an arm over the shoulders of Alex Andros. Her hair was a mess, but a sexy mess. When I woke up, my hair looked like I'd stuck my fingers in an electrical outlet, but not Alex. Hers was a tumble of wavy locks. She was beautiful in a wild, unfettered way, and while we'd tentatively bonded over our shared time with evil psycho gods and our truly weird relation to Apollo, I wasn't nearly as close to her as Deacon and Luke were. She and Aiden were legends, actual legends. And they were so in love with one another that there was no doubt in my mind that they'd spend eternity together, wanting no one else.
Aiden placed a hand on the railing as he stared down into the atrium, his silvery gaze seeming to go to the spot mine had when I'd first entered, to where the Titan Atlas had stood, holding Solos's heart in his meaty grip, to where Seth had gone all God-killer on everyone, tapping into all our powers, our ether, and killing Atlas. Something Seth should not have been able to do. God, that felt like forever ago, but it wasn't. Only about a day had passed since Atlas had come through those very doors and snuffed out Solos's life in a heartbeat. Only the night before, when Seth had become something so feared that the Olympian gods had ended Alex's mortal life to prevent her from becoming it. Only hours since I'd done what Medusa had warned, with the blade dipped in the blood of the Pegasus, knocking Seth out long enough for him to at least calm down. And it had only been this morning when Seth had escaped the panic room, found me in the library, made love to me, held me in his arms, and finally, finally told me he loved me. Just seconds in a lifetime, and Seth had become a thing so powerful, so deadly that he'd left us, left me. An ache lit up my chest as I blinked back tears I refused to allow to fall. I would not cry, because there was no time for that. As soon as Hercules got back from communing with the gods, or whatever he'd left at dawn to do, I was out of here, gone from this house that pretty much dripped the kind of money I couldn't even begin to wrap my head around. Locating the other two demigods was what my father, Apollo, had ordered me to do, but that had fallen way down my priority list, and I didn't even care. Didn't give a flying Pegasus about what that said about me, because no one had ever fought for Seth before. And I would. I would fight till my dying breath for him. Besides, it wasn't like no one would be gathering up the other two bound demigods and brutally introducing them to a whole new way of life. The Army of Awesome, dubbed by Deacon himself, had promised to retrieve the demigods. One was somewhere in Thunder Bay, and the other was living in some town in Britain. I'd promised Alex and Aiden that I would wait until Herc returned before I left to find Seth. I had a strong suspicion of where Seth had gone, and getting there, all the way to an island in the Aegean Sea, was not going to be easy.
Josie, Aiden called.
I blinked, refocusing on him. He was standing only a few feet from me, his hand wrapped firmly around Alex's. Everyone was downstairs. I hadn't heard them move. Sorry.
I asked if you've slept at all.
Nodding, I smoothed the hand over my head, catching the thin wisps of hair. I pushed them back from my face. An hour or so. Those startling silver eyes told me he knew I was lying, but it was Alex who spoke next. You really should rest, Josie. Herc will be back soon, and we'll have a better grasp on everything. Herc had been planning to go to the gods to see how Seth could be contained, but since that was no longer an issue, I wasn't quite sure what the point was now. Sighing, I glanced back to where one of the artworks had fallen to the floor. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep after an earthquake. Gable shuffled past us, headed toward the kitchen, mumbling about checking the internet to see if there was anything about the earthquake. I'd vaguely remembered seeing a MacBook on the counter in there earlier. Luke lifted his arms over his head, stretching as he eyed the direction Gable had gone.
I'm kind of hungry, Deacon announced.
The corners of Luke's lips tipped up.
You're always hungry. Yeah, but the earthquake has made me even more hungry.
Deacon grinned as he folded an arm around the taller man's waist.
Not sure how that works, but I could really go for a bowl of nachos.
He glanced over at the three of us.
Too bad none of you have cool powers.
Cool powers, murmured Aiden.
Yeah, like two of you are made demigods.
Deacon nodded at his brother and Alex.
And you, he said, talking about me, are a legit real demigod, and none of you can whip up a plate of nachos out of thin air. What good is being a demigod if you can't do that?
Alex laughed as she leaned into Aiden. Without looking at her, he let go of her hand and draped his arm over her shoulders, urging her closer.
Well, I guess we're pretty useless, she grinned.
That's what I've been saying for a long time.
Deacon smiled when his brother rolled his eyes.
What time is it, anyway?
A little after 2.
I glanced down at the dagger I still held.
What was I planning to do with it? Stab an earthquake with it? A slight weight in my hand, though, was a reminder of how different things were now from a year ago. Back then, if the ground had trembled, I would have known immediately what it was, even in a land not accustomed to rocking and rolling. But now? Now I expected and prepared for a battle. My fingers tightened around the dagger. Though, for a moment, everything almost felt normal. Well, as normal as anything could be now. And I could almost pretend that Seth was going to walk through those fancy glass doors or out from one of the many hallways. He'd come to me and we'd stand side by side, much like Alex and Aiden. Except that wasn't going to happen. With a loud yawn, Alex looked around the grand room. I wonder if there's any damp... Under our feet, the floor rolled once more, throwing all of us in different directions. My knees cracked off the tile, and I dropped the dagger. It skittered across the floor as I planted my hands, steadying myself as Aiden cursed under his breath. I was frozen for a second, and then I moved. Pushing to my feet, I threw my arms out as the floor, the walls, everything shuddered. Gable burst out from the kitchen, his face pale. Fear pierced my heart because he lived here, lived where the ground shook often, and if he was freaked out, we should be freaked out. My wide gaze met Alex's.
Holy shit!
Deacon grabbed the banister, holding on as the entire house seemed to shake from its foundation. Dust plumed into the air. A light above the door popped. Sparks flew. The thick, reinforced glass of the double doors slipped free and broke into pieces on the floor. This is bad. So bad. Alex gripped Aiden's arm as pieces of plaster dropped from the ceiling, smashing onto the tiles. I darted to the side as another large chunk of the ceiling came down. The opulent, sparkling chandelier crashed into the floor and shattered. Then the floor split right open. Luke shouted as he hooked an arm around Deacon's waist, yanking him away from the staircase. I swallowed a scream as a deep rift split the grand room from the broken doors straight across the atrium, cutting through the scorched spot where Atlas was laid to waste. A chasm in the floor formed, several feet wide. The shaking eased off, and then the world stilled again. Gods, muttered Aiden, keeping one hand on Alex's shoulder as he knocked back several strands of wavy, dark hair. Heart pounding, I turned to the rift in the floor and took a slow, small step toward it.
Be careful, Gable warned. The floor is unstable. This entire house is probably unstable right now.
Is this normal? I asked, lifting my gaze to his. Earthquakes do this? Before I could answer, a strange scent filled the air. Not propane or the burning smell of electricity, scents that would be expected. No, I wrinkled my nose. It was a musty, damp, and dank smell, like rich, undisturbed soil and decaying roots. My heart tumbled over. It reminded me of the way the shades smelled. I have a really bad feeling about this, Alex said. Aiden took a step back from the rift, pulling her with him as Deacon gasped out.
Oh, shit. I think we should leave,
Gable announced, walking backward toward the kitchen.
I really think we should just leave.
Movement stirred from the break in the ground. It sounded like rocks falling, bouncing off one another. Air caught in my lungs as a fine shiver skated over my skin. An instinct roared to the surface, forcing me to step back before I even realized what I was doing. Silence fell, and the only thing I could hear was the pounding of my heart. A dirt-stained hand appeared, reaching out from the chasm and smacking down on the broken tile. Chapter 3. Something or someone was hauling itself out of the hole in the floor, and that had nope written all over it. Nothing good could be climbing out from deep within the ground. I'd seen enough horror films to know that. Spinning around, I scanned the floor for the dagger I'd dropped and couldn't see it in the mess that covered the tiles. Crap! Alex stepped to the side, blocking Gable, and her stance widened, shoulders squared. Even though she wore nothing more than leggings and a tank top, she looked badass and ready, prepared for anything. Alex was a demigod now, but she was first and foremost a sentinel. The same went for Aiden and Luke. They took up the same stance, effectively continuing to force Deacon and Gable behind them. I saw all of this because somehow I was on the other side of the chasm. Another hand appeared, and then a head. A dirt-covered, bald head broke the surface, and I distantly heard someone gag. "Oh my gods," I whispered, eyes widening with horror. Ripped and flayed skin peeled back from the head. Entire chunks of skin were missing from the hollowed cheeks. The skin on the arms was no better. Strips of flesh hung from the chest. One of the eyes was nothing more than an empty, rotten socket, and some kind of cloth was wrapped around its hips, a cloth that might have been white and pristine at one time, but was now covered in mud and singed with soot. The scent of sulfur misted the room. The one good eye met mine, and its iris was a milky blue. "Holy demon babies," whispered Alex. "Is that a zombie? Like a real zombie?"
"That wasn't an earthquake."
Aiden reached to his hip, but he was empty-handed. They'd been sleeping and had come downstairs with no daggers.
"I think that's obvious," Deacon muttered from behind Luke.
All of us were immobile with disbelief. The head on the thing swiveled from me to the other side, and then it pulled itself out, hitting the crushed tile on its knees and hands. A great shudder rolled through the wrecked body, and it doubled over, opening its mouth and coughing violently, spewing clumps of soil and small pebbles. The thing spoke, rocking onto its knees, back bowing as it threw its arms out.
"Dorian!"
It was a tone of voice so guttural that it sounded like its vocal cords had been destroyed, spoken in a language I didn't recognize at first, and wouldn't have if my demigod abilities hadn't been unlocked. "Free," I repeated, looking across the rift. "It said free." Upon my voice, it turned its head at me again.
"Free from what?" Deacon asked. "The set of the Walking Dead?"
Any other time, I would have laughed, but that thing was rising to bare feet that were nothing more than gnawed muscle and bone. It took a step toward me.
"Don't come any closer," I warned, having no idea if it understood a single thing I said.
The thing shuffled another step forward.
"I think it likes you," commented Alex, from the other side of the room.
Power built in the center of my chest, right behind the mark of Apollo, reminding me that I didn't need a dagger to fight. I lifted a hand, hoping that whatever this thing was, it was a friendly and would listen to me.
"Stop!"
Stretching out a gnarly hand in my direction, it opened its mouth in a lipless snarl, revealing ragged, broken teeth.
Okay, probably not friendly.
I reacted, tapping into the power, into Akasha. Summoning the element of air, I felt the energy whip down my arm. A gust of wind hit the thing in its chest. It flew backward. Alex let out a strangled sound as she and Aiden dropped to the floor. The thing shot across the chasm, slamming into the opposite wall in a way that reminded me of a fly hitting the windshield of a car going about 100 miles per hour. A gruesome sound burned my ears as it exploded like a tick full of blood.
"Oh my gosh," I dropped my hand.
"I think I'm going to be sick," Gable moaned. "Seriously, I might vomit."
Alex and Aiden rose, their eyes wide as they looked over the rift at me. Aiden's dark brows rose halfway up his forehead.
"Whoa," he said.
I didn't mean to do that," I said, swallowing hard. "I mean, I meant to stop it, but not make it go splat."
"I guess it's a good thing you didn't accidentally set one of us on fire," Luke commented.
My head snapped in his direction.
"I only did that, like, once," Luke grinned.
"That was kind of impressive." Alex looked over her shoulder, cringing. "I can control air, but not with that kind of force."
"Well, that's because she's a real demigod," Deacon said.
Alex rolled her eyes.
"We're real demigods.
Guys, I think we're about to get more visitors."
Luke pointed at the chasm. More hands had appeared.
"Let's argue about being real demigods later."
They came out of the rift faster than the lone one, all in the same rotting, decaying shape. Their bare-boned feet clicked off the pieces of tile. There were almost a dozen. I'd never seen anything like this. Their jaws snapped, exposing ragged teeth that could easily tear through skin.
"Zombies are all fun and games until they're standing right in front of you," Deacon said.
One of them, a tall one, broke free from the pack, lurching toward Alex. She hopped back as she threw out her arm. A second later, the zombie-looking thing skidded backward, falling into the fissure.
"Deacon,"
Aiden said calmly. Smoke drifted off the tips of his fingers.
"Get Gable into the kitchen. Keep him there."
For once, Deacon obeyed without argument. Whipping around, he grabbed the stunned into silence Gable and hauled ass to the kitchen, slamming the door behind them just as one of the so-very-dead-looking things howled a sound of rage and blood, sending a shiver down my spine. They attacked. There was no time to figure out what was happening, what these things really were, or why they were coming after us. The things could move fast. Half went toward Alex and the guys. The rest raced in my direction, and for a split second, fear punched through my gut. I was immobile with it. I may be a demigod, but these things were terrifying looking, and I was just a mortal girl about to get her flesh torn off her bones. But I wasn't a mortal girl. Far from it. Instinct took over, forcing my body to move. I darted to the left as I tapped into the powers stirring inside me. Reaching the raised dais, I spun around. A small ball of flames hit one of the creatures in the back. Fire erupted, swallowing its body. "Holy crap," I whispered. On the other side of the chasm, ultra-bright flames danced over Aiden's knuckles. Then he turned, taking out another as Luke brandished a dagger. Apparently, he'd been the only one who came out of his bedroom prepared. Overachiever. Jumping forward, he slammed the dagger into one of the eye sockets and jerked his arm back, his lip curling in disgust as maroon-colored blood spurted out at him. The thing shrieked as it fell to the floor, shattering upon impact.
"That's so gross," he muttered, flipping the dagger.
He twisted, eyeing another creature.
"So freaking gross."
Tapping into the fire element, I welcomed the lava now coursing through my veins. My right arm heated, and a bolt of fire shot from my palm, smacking the closest creature to me in the chest. It went down in flames. I spun, hitting another creature. The third zigged and zagged on me, getting close enough that the smell of rot and death turned my stomach. I danced back a step, tapping into fire once more. Flames swamped that creature as it fell forward. I turned, throwing out my arm. Fire crackled over my fingers, and I let it go just as another creature shot forward. The fourth creature took the hit in the shoulder, spinning it around. I turned as the fifth one jumped like a jackrabbit, landing no more than a foot in front of me. I reared back, but it wrapped a bony, fleshless hand around my forearm. Fiery pain erupted, robbing the air out of my lungs. The touch seared my skin, forcing out a hoarse scream. The creature laughed, spewing dirt into the air. Rearing back, I tore my arm free, just as a dagger sliced through its face from behind. It didn't jerk or spasm, simply fell to the floor, exploding into a pile of clumpy ash. I was standing face to face with Luke.
"Looked like you could use the help," he said, twisting at the waist. "Are you okay?"
Breathing through the pain, I looked down at my arm. 4 marks the size of fingers burned my arm. "I'll be okay." Luke didn't get a chance to respond because those on fire were rising from the floor. The flames receded, revealing charred skin and bone.
"What the hell?"
I gasped out, pressing my wounded arm to my stomach as I scanned the atrium. Aiden and Alex were backing up, both with the same stunned expressions on their faces.
"This isn't good," she said. "I thought fire killed zombies."
"Yeah, I don't think these are zombies, babe," Aiden replied.
"Headshots seem to work," Luke called out.
"So they're kind of like zombies. We don't have daggers."
Aiden stepped to the left, halfway in front of Alex. It seemed like an unconscious protective move.
"We could push them back into the crevice."
As soon as he finished saying that, as if the gods were laughing at us, several more climbed out of the hole in the floor.
"I don't think that's going to work," Alex sighed.
My dagger was nowhere to be found among the broken tiles. It could have even fallen into the chasm. If fire didn't kill these things, then I only knew of one other thing. Instead of pushing away the pain, I used it to fuel me, and I reached deep inside, tapping into the very center of my being. Akasha roared to the surface, and releasing the supreme power was like a flower opening up to the sun. It was a release, a burst of white light powered down my arm like a cyclone. I let it go, sending it straight to one of the charred creatures lumbering toward Luke and me. The pale light shrouded the creature for a half second, and then it exploded into ash.
"Well, that works too," Luke grinned, obviously having way too much fun with this, and I had to wonder how he ever thought he could stop being a sentinel.
Following suit, Alex and Aiden summoned Akasha, while Luke was more hands-on, using the dagger. We took down nearly a dozen, but they streamed out of the crevice like an unending night of the living dead. Exhaustion was already settling into my bones as I released another bolt of Akasha. It might have been the lack of sleep or the battle with Atlas and how he had fed off of all of us, but we couldn't keep this up forever. Akasha rippled down my arm as the smell of sulfur deepened. The ground shook once more, tossing me backward. I grunted as I hit the floor on my bad arm and my Akasha faded out. Shifting onto my back, I dragged in air between my teeth.
"Josie!"
Aiden shouted. One of the creatures was right at my side, reaching out with those painful, super gross hands. I rolled onto my side and pushed up. My left hand dragged across the floor, slipping over something smooth and cold. I glanced down, spying the dagger. Wrapping my fingers around it, I shot to my feet, screaming as I brought the dagger down. The sharp blade cut through skin and bone, sinking deep into the skull. Wrenching the dagger free, I stumbled back a step as the thing fell to pieces. The house trembled as the rift in the floor widened, and through the charred bodies and the fresher ones that now rose, a horse head appeared. "Am I seeing things?" I asked, just as one of the creatures reached for me. I brought the dagger down and whipped back toward the opening. There was another horse head and then another. "What in the world?" Akasha faded from Alex's arm. An undercurrent of power rippled through the room, coasting over my skin. I had no idea what was happening at this point, but three horses rose up out of the ground, dark as night and covered in black armor, and they held riders. The two on the outside were dressed head to toe in black, and the one in the middle wore leathers, leather pants, and a leather sleeveless shirt. A golden band wrapped around his well-muscled upper arm, and an aura of power surrounded him. He had a head full of wavy black hair, and his face was brutal in its beauty, as if his features had been carved out of granite. The two men unhooked the silvery lassos attached to their waists. With startling reflexes, their wrists snapped, and the lassos shot out like lightning, slicing through the creatures like heated knives through butter. My brows shot out as I watched the two men make short work of the creatures. The lasso thingy would have been real helpful about 5 minutes ago, because within seconds the creatures were all gone. Nothing more than soot and ash on the floor. Aiden exhaled heavily.
"Nice of you to join us, Hades."
Luke stepped back, bumping into me. We exchanged looks. "Hades? The Hades?
Oh my gods. Sorry, mate," Hades spoke, his voice accented. "Was in the middle of entertaining Persephone when literally all hell broke loose."
"They're yours?" Alex gestured at the pile of ashes. Hades smirked.
"What?"
"What in the world is going on?" Alex demanded, resting her hands on her hips. She stared up at Hades. The Hades. "The ground split open and these things came crawling out like cockroaches."
"You don't know,"
Hades sighed as he forced his horse to turn around. Dismounting, he stood next to the massive beast, and I saw just how tall Hades was, like giant kind of tall.
"Yeah, we're a little in the dark here," Aiden replied. "We thought it was an earthquake until they started coming through."
The kitchen door cracked open, and Deacon stuck his blonde head out.
"Is it safe?"
He trailed off, eyes widening when he spotted the horses, the men, and Hades.
"Yep, I'll just keep Gable distracted a little longer."
The door shut. Hades' smirk grew as he surveyed the room, his all-white eyes beyond eerie, and I just stood there, arms dangling at my sides. The dagger was forgotten in my hand. There were dead things reduced to ashes on the floor that was currently split wide open. There were horses, giant war horses I was pretty sure were not of normal size, and Hades, the god of the underworld, was standing a mere handful of feet from me. "Should we bow or something?" I whispered to Luke. Luke slid me a sidelong glance and murmured, "I'm just not going to move or draw any attention to myself."
"Too late," Hades said, turning to us. "A half-blood and Apollo's daughter. I figured we'd be meeting under different circumstances."
I shivered, thinking different circumstances probably meant our deaths.
"What were those things?" Aiden asked.
Hades nodded up at the men. They hooked their super-special lassos to their waists, but did not dismount. They sat upon their horses, eyes straight ahead and as silent as graves. Turning in unison, their heels dug into the sides of their horses and turned to stand sentry by the rift. Understanding dawned, and my stomach dropped. I realized what the two men were, Hades' servants, his men. They were what Seth had pledged himself to become upon his death, to serve under Hades, taking Aiden's place. I suddenly felt sick.
"Those creatures were held in the pits of Tartarus, deep within the fire caverns," Hades explained, swiping his booted foot through the pile of ashes. "They were once demons."
I needed to sit down. Even Alex paled.
"Did you believe when demons die, they simply cease to exist?" Hades queried, tone smug. "No matter what they tell you, everything is sorted out in the end."
"Kind of like Hogwarts?" Alex asked. Hades inclined his head to the side. Alex sighed. "Never mind."
"The demons spend eternity being burned alive and then put back together, only to suffer the same fate nearly at once."
I really needed to sit down.
"Sometimes I change it up, burying them alive in just enough lava to sear the skin away, and then let them dig their way out of rock and soil is fun," Hades continued with a shrug. "The torture drives them insane."
He paused.
"Then again, they were demons. Not much going on between the ears, anyway."
Oh, my. "Okay. Could have lived forever without knowing all of that," Alex said slowly. "But what were they doing up here?" A fissure of energy rolled through the room, followed by a blinding, bright, golden light. Electricity poured in, pure power, lifting the tiny hairs all over my body. The light receded, and in its place were two forms. Hades sighed.
"Always have to make a grand entrance, don't you?"
Apollo stood by the staircase, and beside him was Hercules. The sun god, my father, stepped forward, and his all-white eyes sparked. When he spoke, fury sharpened his tone.
"What have you all done?"
Chapter 4. My father looked like he was only a few years older than me, which was as weird as it sounded. He wasn't dressed like Hades, or how I'd ever imagined any god to look. Apollo was wearing faded jeans and a tight black shirt. I'd first met him when I was a young, lonely girl, and he was just a strange man who went by the name Bob, who gave me candies and dolls. Looking back, I totally got how incredibly creepy that was, but for a short summer, he'd been my only friend. And now he was my father, my absentee father, who randomly appeared and disappeared within minutes, and I hadn't been around him long enough to see him like this, truly angry. I sucked in an unsteady breath as he stepped forward, the all-white eyes giving way to irises as blue as mine.
"Do you all have any idea what you've done?" he demanded.
I opened my mouth, but Alex responded before I had the chance to even figure out what to say. "You're going to have to be a little more detailed. We've done a lot of things." Apollo's eyes narrowed on what was his great-great-great-great times 1,000 granddaughter.
"You killed Atlas."
Hi, Dad. I kept my expression blank as Apollo's golden head swung in my direction. "And how is that a problem?" Hades chuckled darkly.
Love, look around, and you should be able to answer that question.
Aiden's frown was severe.
You weren't supposed to kill Atlas or any of the Titans.
Apollo's voice was as harsh as a violent windstorm.
You were supposed to entomb them.
Okay, sorry. A prickly feeling along my skin grew. I was so not in the mood for this.
Sorry, Apollo repeated. Perhaps my instructions were not clear enough when I explained that the Titans needed to be entombed.
Alex barked out a cutting laugh. Your instructions are never clear. His eyes snapped blue fire, and he looked like he was gearing up for a major rant I really didn't want to listen to. He was going to kill us, I said, and I felt that should have been explanation enough. He was killing us. Look at what happened to Solos. If it hadn't been for Seth...
I really don't want to hear that name right now, Apollo interrupted.
And yep, he was ticked off.
Sorry, but we're going to need to talk about him.
Aiden's voice was level and calm, but I tensed all over.
Because we all have several questions about what happened with him.
Neither Hades nor Apollo answered. How did Seth become the God Killer? Asked Alex. Her arms were folded across her chest, and her hip was cocked to the side. She was all attitude. As far as we knew, that wasn't possible. I was the God Killer, and when I died my mortal death, that was that. Impatience flooded Apollo's expression, tightening his jaw.
I'm not sure if you remember how unordinary that entire event was.
Alex raised a single brow.
We had no idea what truly would happen to you or to Seth, making you a demigod, who also happened to be the Apollyon and the awakened God Killer, while there was another Apollyon alive, had never been done before. I warned you, all of you, that anything was possible, Apollo shot back.
But he hadn't warned me about any of this. Then again, he didn't really tell me much.
Anything was possible.
So you're telling me that you really had no idea Seth could tap into all of us and somehow become the God Killer? Disbelief colored Alex's voice.
That is what I am saying, Apollo replied sharply.
My frustration grew, as did the ache in my arm. Okay, even if all the super special gods in the world had no idea that Seth could somehow become the God Killer, that still doesn't explain how he killed Atlas. We were told, he was told, that only the demigods with their unlocked abilities could kill them. Apollo's jaw flexed.
They could entomb them.
Whatever.
We were not sure if the God Killer could,
Hades stated after a moment. We all turned to him. He looked particularly bored with the conversation.
God Killers did not exist when the Titans were in control. We felt it was best not put it in that unstable Cretan's head, the possibility of him being able to take out a Titan.
He is not an unstable Cretan. My hands curled into fists. Hades smirked.
That's a matter of opinion, love.
I exhaled heavily. Basically, you guys knew there was a chance Seth could become this. After all, didn't you have Alex and Aiden watching him?
Well, Alex trailed off.
And you knew there was a chance he could kill a Titan, but you said nothing, I continued. And now I am assuming the earthquake and the charbroiled demons had something to do with Atlas's death?
Just like with Ares' death, there was a weakening in all of us, allowing the Titans to make their escape.
Hades' boots clicked off the crushed tile as he walked to his horse.
With Atlas, the ripple effect was much more severe.
His large hand moved along the side of the beast.
It punched a hole straight through the earth, through Olympus and my realm. Unfortunately, it damaged the fire caverns, allowing for openings here and several other places.
My knees felt weak. Punched a hole straight through Earth? Hades nodded.
He was Atlas, after all.
The kitchen door opened once more, and Deacon drew up short. His gray eyes widened as he spotted Apollo. Gable bumped into him from behind.
Who's that?
Nope, Deacon said, turning right back around.
That is all kinds of nope right there.
And Deacon pushed Gable back into the kitchen. gods, Luke muttered under his breath as he scratched his fingers through his hair. Anger tightened Aiden's jaw.
Okay, did it ever occur to any of you that if you just told us that there was a possibility that Seth could become the God Killer and that he could kill a Titan, we might have been able to prevent him from killing a Titan?
And exactly how do you think you would have stopped the God Killer?
Herc spoke, shrugging out massive, muscular shoulders.
Even I, the Hercules, would have been unable to stop him. He could kill me.
Oh, the tragedy, murmured Hades.
I will probably never say this again, but Hercules is right, Apollo admitted. Your knowledge would have changed nothing.
That is... I shook my head in wonder. That is the absolutely stupidest thing I've ever heard. Knowledge is everything. Knowing what he could possibly be capable of ahead of time could have given us a chance to stop him, could have given him the chance.
Apollo said nothing, because how could he deny that? To do so would be foolish.
This is not our fault, Aiden said. Like always, you all deem it necessary not to tell us everything, and like always, everything goes sideways fast.
We tell you what you need to know when you need to know it, Apollo snapped back.
Herc rolled his eyes.
Trust me, you've only had, what, a few years of dealing with a need-to-know basis. I, the Hercules, have lived. I am done with you.
Apollo waved his hand, and Herc just disappeared. There one second, gone the next. My mouth dropped open as I stepped over the dais. Did you kill him?
Hades laughed. I wish, muttered my father. I sent him back to Olympus. I have no need of him now. We have no need of him.
I shook my head. We still have to find the other demigods.
You already know where they are, and we have bigger problems.
Apollo turned to Alex and Aiden.
We have a god killer who is obviously AWOL, a god killer who is a threat to all of us.
He's not a threat to you. I walked toward the crevice, steering clear of Hades, his men, and his horses. If he was, he wouldn't have done what he's done. Alex glanced at me and then agreed. He left here without harming anyone.
He did hit me, Luke added dryly.
But he didn't kill me, and he could have easily done so.
I know what he did,
Apollo growled, and I felt heat creep into my face. Did he really know what Seth had done before he'd left? Because, ew.
Seth cannot be trusted. Not now.
Closing my eyes, I tried counting to 10. I only made it to 3. He has given you no reason not to trust him. He has done...
You do not know him as well as you think you do, Apollo responded, his back to me. You do not know him at all.
Tears of anger and frustration filled my eyes. I know him better than any of you. Apollo's back stiffened.
You need to find the other demigods now. The Titans need to be entombed,
he held up a hand,
and not killed. We will deal with the God Killer.
Aiden and Alex exchanged looks. I stretched my veins. What do you mean, deal with him?
Once you locate the other demigods, bring them to the Covenant, Apollo ordered.
I stepped forward. Pieces of tile fell into the gaping crevice.
Careful,
Luke murmured as he stopped a few feet behind me.
I so don't want to go down there after you.
Neither did I. What do you mean by deal with him?
What do you think, love?
Hades asked as he mounted his horse with the kind of fluid grace I imagined only gods had.
We may not be able to kill him yet, but we can neutralize him.
The iciness spread, seizing my stomach. How? Hades didn't answer, but he gave me a faint, mysterious smile, one that caused my stomach to dip unpleasantly. Guiding his horse around, he nodded toward Alex and Aiden.
I'll be seeing you two soon.
Then, with a flick of his wrist, his horse turned again toward the tear in the floor. His men followed, and all three disappeared into the smoke whirling from the floor. Any other time, I would have been shocked and awed by all of that, but not today. How? I demanded once more.
It doesn't matter, Apollo responded. What you need to be focusing on is locating the other demigods.
I know what I need to be doing, I cut in.
And what is that? Running off after him?
Anger filled every word Apollo spoke.
As if what I've ordered you to do is not more important.
I took a deep, even breath. Alex and Aiden have agreed to...
I know what they've agreed to do. It does not matter.
Apollo turned his head to the side, but didn't look in my direction.
You will locate the other two demigods and then wait for me at the Covenant in South Dakota.
I almost laughed. Oh, I don't think so.
You'd disobey me?
Apollo queried in a voice too soft for comfort. Across from me, Alex and Aiden looked like they wanted a bucket of popcorn, but both remained quiet as I stared at my father's back. I will do what I feel is right, and finding Seth is what I need to do. I love Seth. I love him when no one else believes in him, and I will still love him when everyone realizes who and what he truly is. That will never change, and there is nothing you can say that will change my mind, so you might as well not even attempt it and just tell me how you plan to neutralize Seth.
You won't love him when he drains you dry.
I sucked in an unsteady breath. He would never do that.
He wouldn't, because I'm pretty sure he has already fed from you.
My gaze shot to Alex and Aiden. Had they told him? No, they hadn't seen Apollo since I had. Or at least, I didn't think so.
You don't understand, Josie. You approach everything with Seth as if it is a black or white issue, as if there is not gray. You don't know him like I do, like all of us do. Whether you want to admit it or not, we do not know what Seth is capable of. We never have, and you did not know him when he worked alongside Ares.
While a part of me recognized that Apollo had a point, he was still wrong. I didn't know Seth then, but I knew that was a different Seth. People could and did change. Since you seem to be watching from afar like a total stalker, then you know he stopped and he told me what happened. Apollo tipped his head back. A moment passed, and then he said,
You sound like a foolish child in the middle of a tantrum.
Oh, jeez, Luke murmured from behind me, and Alex's eyes widened. For a moment, I was consumed with the skid mark his words had left behind. Just for a few seconds, and then I shed that hurt like I'd done so many times in the past whenever I thought about my father, where he was and why he hadn't been a part of my life. There was a time when I saw Apollo that I wanted to rush to him, that all I wanted was for him to hold me, like I'd seen Alex and her father embrace one another, that I wanted him to talk to me, like he did when he spoke to Alex and Aiden. But right now, I wanted nothing more than to punch him in the throat. Anger filled me, squelching the exhaustion and the pain in my arm. How would you know what a child sounds like in the middle of a tantrum? Like you're actually around children enough to know that? I mean, you weren't there for any of my tantrums, or my birthdays, or holidays, or any of the 100 times my mother had a relapse and I was scared to death that she would accidentally hurt herself. My words struck their mark. I knew this because the room suddenly filled with electricity. Alex and Aiden shifted uneasily, and I had a feeling Luke was slinking away.
You think that's what I wanted? Apollo asked. That I chose to not be there for you?
Right now, you choose to not even look at me when you speak to me, so yeah, I'm going to go with you chose not to be there for me. Apollo whipped around so fast I barely saw him move. I couldn't read the emotions in his face. I didn't want to. I spoke before he could. You barely speak to me when you do decide to appear. Hell, you seem more happy to see them than you are to see me, your daughter. I gestured at Alex and Aiden across the rift. I don't know what exactly had tipped me over the edge. It could have been everything and anything at this point, but there was so much raw hurting building inside of me. You won't even tell me anything about my mother. You always disappear before I can even ask. His chest rose, and those large hands opened.
Sometimes it is best to not be given the chance to ask a question that will lead to an answer you will not want to hear or need to know.
Regret flickered across his face the moment he snapped his mouth shut. Everything in me stilled and slowed, even my heart. Why would you say something like that? Apollo's gaze shifted away, And I knew. I just knew. My heart dropped to my stomach, and a hole opened up in my chest. I want to see my mom, now.
That is not possible, he answered quietly.
I drew in a breath and then another, and it did nothing to help the sinking feeling spreading throughout me. Because she's in Olympus, right? I'm not allowed to go there. Apollo, my father, said nothing. Behind him, Alex and Aiden blurred out of focus. That's what you've been telling me this whole entire time, that she's safe in Olympus, so I want to see her.
Josephine.
I want to see my mother, I stated again, clearly and slowly, just in case he didn't understand my request.
You can't.
His voice strained as his expression. If you do not take me to see my mother, I will go myself. Surprise filled his ocean blue eyes. I know where there is a gateway to Olympus, I said. And then I bluffed big time, because I didn't know if Medusa would allow me or if I could get past her. And I can and will get through that gateway. A heartbeat later, Apollo was standing in front of me.
You must understand that I've told you what I have because I felt it was best at that time. You just learned that you were my daughter and that a Titan was coming for you. You just discovered that your grandparents had been murdered. I told you what I did because I did not feel you could withstand the truth.
Nothing was still in me anymore. I was full of trembling cracks and shattered pieces barely held together. Apollo's voice lowered.
I tried to stop Hyperion when he went to your grandparents' house, but I didn't get there in time. Your mother was...
No, I whispered. His eyes closed.
Your mother was already dead.
Chapter 5 Apollo was talking, and I was hearing what he was saying. I heard those words, and I felt them on my skin like a thousand pricks of a burning needle. Mom was dead? I opened my mouth, and a cry of denial erupted from me, building into a scream. Rage and heartache blanketed every cell in my body. I screamed and screamed, as fury and horror mingled with all the ether in my veins. Apollo's ocean blue eyes widened a second before the irises faded into white orbs. He reached out a hand toward me.
Josie.
Pure power erupted. I exploded like a volcano. Bright light had poured out from me, crackling and snapping. It filled the room until there was nothing but light and power, and all the pain that was tearing through my insides, ripping me apart. It went on and on, until my throat turned raw. My scream gave out, and the light flickered once before falling to the broken floor like shimmery paint thrown into the air. Alex and Aiden were on their backs. So was Luke. And my father was gone. I didn't remember leaving the house. The next thing I knew, I was standing on the rock